Awesome stories. I want to tell you my story. I want to tell you how my story connects with our story as members of New Hope Church. And then I'm going to tell you or make a case for how my story and our story together impacts your story as students and as members of student ministry. So that's kind of the outline for today. So we'll start by the people that I want to introduce you to the people that are most important in my life, and that's my family. So that's me and my wife, Andrea. We just this summer celebrated our 14th wedding anniversary. We got married a couple years out, or 1 year out of college. We met at Northwestern. I'll get back to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. But she is also a worship leader. She teaches, she has a private piano studio. She's a photographer. She's got a lot of different interests, and I love her to pieces. She's awesome. These are my kids. That's Jack on the left, Carter on the right, and Ruby, my baby girl, in the middle. And I'll just warn you, every time I talk about her, I get a little misty, I get a little teary-eyed, so just bear with me. If my voice gives out, it's just because we're talking about my baby girl. So Jack is 10. He is my rock star. He started playing drums at probably like 18 months old. We got him a drum set, like a full kit, for his third birthday, and he has been playing drums ever since. So he has now branched out into diversifying his musical portfolio. So now he has added guitar and piano and bass. Their electric guitar broke that we got them for Christmas. So they've just been playing my bass all summer, like distortion pedal. They're writing songs down in the basement. We got this whole music studio down there. So it's really, really fun. Carter is my second. He's 7. And Carter's my negotiator. So I'm hoping he's going to be a lawyer. Musicians don't make much money. Okay, so I need somebody in the family to support me in my old age. I'm hoping that he goes to law school and makes a grip of money because he can argue like nobody's business. And he's very sharp. He picks up on stuff. So my wife was doing this, you know, kind of health routine program. And so he's like, we're sitting at breakfast. He's like, Mom, so are you still doing your protocol thing? She's like, well, not exactly. And he's like, okay, so when you say not exactly, what do you mean by that? 6 years old. It's like honing in on, like, wow, that's dangerous. But he's a joy as well. And Ruby is, can't look because I'm going to cry. She's amazing. She's absolutely amazing. She's just lights up the entire house. She's starting to talk now, and it's really, really funny. I was getting done changing her diaper the other day, and she rips one, all right? She passes gas, right? So she's laying there, she's like, toot. I'm like, you're not even 2 years old. How do you know? I'm like, you must have brothers if you're, you know, honing in on that already. So just a couple more pictures because I can't even, okay? And then I just took this one this past week. She's having a world of fun with a cardboard box. That's really all it takes to entertain her. So she is my pride and joy. So we're going to rewind the clock. I'm going to go back and just tell you a little bit more about my journey and how I grew up. I was born in Grand Forks, North Dakota. That is me. I was not that orange as a baby. It's just a really old picture, okay? It's not an Instagram filter. That's just how pictures used to look in the 70s, because that's when I was born. But we moved around. I lived in Tulsa for a while, but I've lived here in the cities most of my life. So I think we moved back when I was 5, something like that. I came to love Jesus at a pretty early age. My mom still tells a story. I don't specifically remember this, but I was 3 years old, and she thought I was kind of getting to the age where we should probably talk about, like, Jesus and, you know, salvation. And so she asked me if I wanted to, you know, pray with her to accept Christ. And I said, Mom, I've already done all that. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. So you can kind of maybe get a sense of some of the church background and tradition that I came from. Did not grow up EFCA, a little bit more charismatic. Yeah, amen. Holy Spirit, all that stuff. But when we moved back to Minnesota, I was homeschooled. Both of my parents were teachers, so I was homeschooled through eighth grade. Where's my homeschoolers? Come on. Come on now. All right. Give yourselves a hand. You're also giving me a hand at the same time because I am one of you. I was homeschooled through eighth grade. So my entire elementary and junior high experience was spent in that way, rocking the Argyle in this picture. I was probably, I don't know, I'm probably seven or 8 years old there. So went to a private Lutheran high school, and that was quite the culture shock adjustment for me. Everyone else had been friends since kindergarten. I knew not one person, and that was tough. There were some already pretty firmly established cliques that were heavily in place, like for, you know, how many ever years? 6 or 7 years before I had a chance to break into that. So first 2 years of high school for me were really hard, you guys, really, really hard. But I got involved in music. High school is when I really discovered rediscovered my love for music. That's when I started playing guitar. Got my first electric guitar for Christmas my junior year in high school, and pretty much never looked back after that. Music has always been a part of my life ever since. And so this is me. This is one of my senior pictures in high school. This is 1995, so everyone had, or a lot of people, you know, growing your hair out was the thing. But here's the deal, you guys. My mom hated my long hair. She did not like it, so I made a deal with her. I'm like, okay, Mom, I will do one. If I can take senior pictures with my long hair, I will do one round with long hair, and then I'll get my hair cut, and we can do another round. And that was, she was okay with that. So this is the first round, and then I got my hair cut, and then that's what it looked like. We got the classic pose. I'm like, no one does that in real life unless you're posing for a picture. No one does this. Like, I'm just going to stand here with my hand on my chin looking pensively off into the distance. Anyway, so that was high school. I went to Northwestern College at the time. Now, University of Northwestern, St. Paul. Does anybody have any connections to Northwestern? Siblings that went there? Parents? Plans to go there maybe in the future? Okay. What I've noticed is that New Hope Church has a lot of connections with Northwestern. I came from a church before this that had a lot of connections with Bethel. And so every time, like, oh, if we need an intern, maybe we should call Bethel. And I'm like, or Northwestern. They're right by each other. It was like discrimination. I was the only one, like, you know, raising the banner for Northwestern. So finally, I feel more at home and accepted among my own people here in my tribe, Northwestern. So I appreciate that. Thank you for doing that. So I was a music education major. So I thought I was going to be a music teacher, maybe a choir director. I was in choir all. It was 5 years for music education. 4 of those years, I was in choir in school, and as well as a lot of extracurricular stuff. So, I also the ongoing kind of hair choices. I'll just be honest with you guys; those continued for me. And so, this is a picture from choir tour. My senior year, where I thought it was a good idea to bleach my hair platinum blonde. Actually, my first round was like more like macaroni and cheese, kind of like an orangey color. So people who do that before big trips, I mean, you got to be worried about just their kind of their cognitive thought process, their judgment, just their amount of their wisdom. Oh, sorry, Isaiah. Dude, I'm sorry. I didn't see you there. I'm so used to being out of the country. I apologize. So this, Have you guys? I know I'm much older than you, but have you ever seen the skit on Mad TV? Do you remember that show? And Stewart on Mad TV with his mom, and he's always like, "No, I don't wanna tell you. I don't wanna say." Have you seen that? Okay, if you haven't seen it, some of them are not as appropriate as others, but some of them are really funny. You can YouTube it. Anyways, I'm doing Stewart right there. That is me, like, trying to, you know, like, I don't wanna tell you. That's me doing my best Stewart impression with electric blonde hair. So, even in spite of my poor hair choices, I managed to graduate from Northwestern. And Andrew and I had started dating like just about maybe 5 months before we graduated. And then we got engaged about a year later. And so this is our wedding picture. I had to like take a snapshot of it on my phone, like from our like wedding album, because we were also in the age before digital cameras. That's, if you can believe it, if you can believe it. I know you don't probably remember a time. But that's our wedding picture. Again, hair. Not so much now. That's what three kids will do to you. So that's my wedding. I'm just trying to remember. Okay, so after we got married, I was going to be a music teacher, right? I was going to be the next big high school choir director, like, no, there aren't any. You can't think of any. They're awesome, but they're not famous, okay? But I wanted to be one. I was really excited about that. So I subbed for about 2 years right out of college and could not find a teaching job to save my life. It just was not working for me. And so I got a job, what I thought was a summer job, at a company called Murphy Brothers, painting houses, doing exciting things like sanding drywall, cabinets, really, yeah, life-changing, meaningful work. I'm just kidding. It's if you're called to that, that's awesome, and you should do it. Everything is unto the Lord. We're going to talk about that in our fall series. But I felt like I was dying inside. I felt like it was a wilderness experience for me. Like, I'm like, I am in my mid to late 20s, and I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And there's no end of this in sight, and I just didn't know what my options were. And so, but here's the thing. Being at Murphy Brothers gave me the flexibility and the time to explore other musical interests and kind of hone my skills in that way. So Andrew, my wife, is also a worship leader. She was working at a couple of different churches, but during this time, I backed her up for about 5 years every week, so I'm learning that skill of being a part of a team and leading music. I was also able to be in a band, which had been a lifelong dream of mine since high school, with that first electric guitar. So that was the name of my band, is Moxie Bliss. We were together from 2001 to 2008. That's our first record album cover. We put out about three records out, three CDs. That we recorded in the studio, and so that was really fun. We got an opportunity to do a lot of really cool things. We went to L.A. and recorded in a studio in L.A. We got to travel to Scotland on it was a missions trip, but it was through music, teaching lessons, and then we would go out and perform at bars and clubs and coffee shops and stuff in the evenings, and that was a big part of my experience. There's another shot. I think that was our farewell show in 2008. Still a little bit of hair, but it's dwindling. It's on its way out at that point. But here's the thing, you guys. All this time that I was working a job I didn't like, when I finally got, once Jack was born, we were like, okay, it's time for something new. I want to do something else. And I got hired at a church as a worship pastor. And what I realized in hindsight, I'm like, oh, I'm using the skills that I was able to hone, being part of the band, logging stage time, learning how to play with other people, making connections, networking with friends. All of that freedom allowed me to do all of those things, and I was able to use all of those in my next job. So even though I didn't know it, even though I felt like I was just kind of in the wilderness and kind of just not doing anything with my life, God was using that to prepare me for what he had for me next. And so there's City Church. We actually didn't have a building. It was a church plant. So we met in an elementary school theater set up, tear down every single week for almost 6 years. And then my final year there is when they bought this building and completely renovated it. And it was awesome. This is me leading worship there on one of our, I think that was one of our last weeks. It might have been my last Sunday there at City Church before I came. And so this is kind of where, one more thing. While I was at City Church, God laid it on my heart. For whatever reason, I was, mostly just been a music guy for the majority of that time. But I had some opportunities to preach and to speak. And God kind of planted something in me or was drawing something out from inside of me that I didn't even know was there. And I was like, wow, this is kind of awesome. I kind of love communicating in this way. And at some point, I don't even know when or how, but he planted the idea in my mind of maybe you should go to seminary. And I'm like, nope. Definitely not doing that. That's not going to be a thing. Everyone talks about how hard seminary is. I don't want to go back to school. I like not having homework. I don't want it to monopolize my life. That sounds like the worst. So instead of going to seminary, I played video games for a year. I still worked at my job and stuff, but I upgraded my Xbox 360 at the time, and I played Skyrim, you guys.
Yes!
I played Skyrim.
Yes!
Yeah. It's an awesome game, but also it kind of monopolized my life a little bit. So we might need to have a conversation. I can pray with you later for some deliverance. Okay, good. Attaboy. Attaboy. So you're in recovery like I. Rehab. Yes. Video game addiction is real, you guys. I am a recovering video game addict. And so, but I did. It was an open act of rebellion. It's not that like, oh, no, that's probably a good idea, but I really can't. It was at that point I made a decision. I'm like, God, I won't go to seminary. And can I just tell you guys, when you're more than free to make that choice if you want to. In a conversation with the Lord, you can go ahead. I'm just going to clue you in if you want to learn from me paying the dumb tax. God wins, okay? At the end of the day, he wins. He's going to keep bugging you, and he's going to keep nagging at you, and he's going to keep bringing people in your life that are going to bring it up until you surrender and say, okay, I give up. I'll do it, even though it's hard, even though I don't think I can, even though I don't want to, I'll do it. And that's what I did. And so I enrolled at Bethel Seminary in their SEMPM program. And 3 years later, that's me earning my master's degree in Master of Arts in Ministry Practice. And that was just last year. So I had actually overlapped my coming. I was at City Church for a year in school, and then my first 2 years of being here at New Hope Church, I was also in school. And it was really hard. It was really hard, and it was really grueling, and it required a lot of sacrifice, but it was really, really good. And God got me through. So that's where my story bumps into our story. So I was not looking for a job when I came or when I was approached about coming on staff at New Hope. I was satisfied. I was happy. My life just got easier because I wasn't setting up and tearing down all of my entire sound system every week. We actually had a building, and it was nice and it was comfortable. And God was calling me to something else. So here's some crazy connections between my life and New Hope Church that I couldn't have scripted, all right? So you, how many of you know Pastor Jeff McCourt? Worship pastor, Sunday mornings at the main campus, all right? So Pastor Jeff was Andrea, my wife's choir director and worship leader when she was in high school, all right? So there's like one connection. They came to our wedding when we got married. When I came to work here, Peggy, Jeff's wife, has a picture of the two of them on her desk to this day that was taken at my wedding. Small, small world. Yes, hi, Tracy. I'm getting to that. If you would care to just bear with me for one more second. Unbelievable! Unbelievable! Yeah, no, it's... I love Tracy. She's awesome. So, the wedding photographer at my wedding 14 years ago, Karin Heitzman. Maybe some of you know her. So just crazy, crazy connections. Paul Schoolmeesters and I used to play in bands and stuff together. We were part of the same circles. I recorded, Moxie recorded their second album, my band, at his brother's studio up in Rogers. So just crazy stuff that you can't make up. And those were all kind of signs to me that this was the place that God had for me to come. So I came on staff as an associate worship pastor. I was primarily serving, okay, there's our story. I jumped the gun, our story. Primarily serving Fusion, which was Sunday night worship gathering. And at the time, it was primarily geared towards ministry to young adults. And so Paul and I were working. Paul was the young adults pastor at the time. I was kind of his number two guy. And I was also part of the team on Sunday morning. So I've been able to lead for Pastor Jeff when he's been gone on Sunday mornings and be part of that team as well. Well, fast forward to, okay, and then, yeah, so there's me and Paul. Everyone thinks that we look like twins. Seriously, not joking, the first 2 years I was here, almost everybody I talked to were like, so, are you guys brothers? And I'm like, nope, we're not. We're actually pretty different, even though I love that guy. We're actually pretty different in a lot of ways. I've grown beards off and on just to distinguish and like kind of distance some of that because Paul can't grow a beard and is not allowed to. So anyway, that's one of the series we did at Fusion last summer. But this last fall, Pastor Matthew, who is also awesome, by the way, tapped Paul on the shoulder and asked him to come and step into Pastor Dave's role as a senior associate pastor, kind of being his number two guy in charge of all the day-to-day things and the myriad of responsibilities that are entailed in running an organization like New Hope Church. And so with that, I stepped into the primary leadership role at Fusion. And when I got that, when I stepped into that role, I basically had two jobs. One was, okay, keep everything running, obviously. So I was preaching every week and putting teams together and all of those types of things to keep everything moving. But they also asked me, we'd been sensing for a while that it was time for a change. It was time for something new, something different. And so we took those first 3 months of me kind of being in that role, the first 3 months of the year, to just seek God and be like, Lord, what do you want us to do? What do you have in store for us? What do you want for the future of young adult ministry? And we started having conversations and talking to people. And what we realized at the end of that time, what we realized was, you know what? Actually, we haven't really been doing young adult ministry for the last how many ever years. Most of the people at Fusion have grown past that and are in their mid to late 20s, 30s, and even 40s and have kids. And so we had to really have some really tough conversations about, okay, so what does that mean? Do we need to revamp things? Do we need to start over? What, you know, God, what do you want? And we really felt at the end of the time that God was saying, you know what, this season of ministry for Fusion as it's been, it's time for that to come to a close and come to an end. And then, and we need to launch the people that have kind of been here for a long time, launch them into being integrated into the greater life of the church. And we felt that God was telling us he wanted us to start something brand new for young adult ministry that looked totally different, that wouldn't be a service, that wouldn't be an event-based, but that would be intentionally relational. It'd start with conversations with people and time spent with people and connecting in community. And so really my job, so we shut down Fusion at the end of April. And that was kind of a rip the Band-Aid off kind of situation. We announced it on the 10th. We had one more week of kind of reflecting and seeking God together. And then we had our final week was just telling stories of celebration of what God had done. And that was it. And so I've spent the last, almost 4 months now, the summer and May, just meeting with people, having coffee. I've had a lot of coffee, not this morning, but this summer. I've probably had more coffee than I had in the last 2 or 3 years combined. But that's just been a good way for us to connect and basically start over with young adults 19 to 25. And I realized, I'm like, man, I actually didn't know that many people. We could probably list on one hand the number of actual young adults in that age group that were actually part of and invested in Fusion. And so that was really, really hard, but it's been really, really good. And so we're still in process. We're still, I kind of had a tidy picture of like, you know, by fall, we're going to have it all figured out, and we're going to lay it out, and we're going to have this great like mission statement, and like we're going to get everybody on board. And the Lord's like, yeah, actually, no. You haven't been in control of this process from the beginning. It's going to continue to be organic. It's going to continue happening in conversation. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to continue rolling out some of the things that we're going to be doing, but we're not going to do all the things. but whatever we do, it's going to be based in connection with people. It's going to be based in conversation. And not just like, well, here, I did this. I've got this perfect thing planned. And, oh, will you guys please come to it? It's, we want to come and be together because we all know each other. That's my vision for that. So I could talk about that a lot. I want to read you just a short passage from Ephesians that's kind of been a lot of inspiration for us, what we want to do, what we want to become, how we want to play our part in the greater life of the church. So it's Ephesians 4. Let me find it here. Verses 11 through 16. So it says, and he, God, gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body in Christ. That's the whole point of any of that. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of men and the craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So that's going to be kind of our theme passage. Now that's all of our job, right? As members of New Hope Church, this is still our story, right? We're all supposed to be doing this in some way, shape, or form, or participating in this. But for the young adult age group, that window of time, that's a really pivotal part of the journey. That's a really crucial part of the progression. And so we want to be doing that together and growing together and be doing that intentionally in relationships so that no one gets left behind. So no one drops off and gets isolated. And when we're in isolation, you guys, when we try and do things by ourselves, that's when we're the most vulnerable. That's when Satan tries to come and pick us off because we don't have the protection of being together and being connected to the body and then connected to Christ. So here's the deal. Here's where this connects to your story as students. Y'all still with me? Do you need to take a jumping jack break? Would that be helpful to you? Okay, I'm just wondering. I could use one, so if you wanted to, I would do it, but if you don't, then we'll just keep going. All right? Do you want to do jumping jacks real quick? All right. Jumping jacks. Here we go. Jumping jacks. Here we go. Five jumping jacks. Here we go. One, two, three, four, five. All right. The rest of you, you can stay sleepy. We're energized. We got endorphins going. We're on the home stretch here. All right. So I've had a chance to connect with some of you. I don't know a lot of you, but there's some of you that I've had a chance to connect with. You've probably seen me around more often. That's not by accident, you guys. First of all, I office here now, and you met Jen Stahl a few weeks ago during the NHC Arts part of the family. Say hi, Jen. Wave at everyone. Some of you just got back from Czech with Jen, which I heard was awesome. So Jen and I office here now. One of the reasons for that is that they blew up our old office. So we were literally homeless, and we had nowhere else to go. And the student ministries department graciously invited us in and found offices for us to have, and that was really great. But there's more to it than that. part of the reason that we're here, why we're officing here as opposed to somewhere else, is that, okay, and this is going to be a news flash for you guys, okay? Are you ready for this? Okay, you all, and I hate to break your brains here, okay, but you will not be in junior high and high school forever. I know, it's a little shocking. For some of you, you're like, that's the best news I've heard all day. For some of you, that's a little bit scary, but it's true, okay? High school goes by really, really quick. And guess what? When you graduate from high school, you're a young adult, which means you're in my world, all right?
I don't want to be in your world.
It's too late. But here's the thing, you guys. Here's the thing, okay? I don't want the first time that I meet you to be your last small group meeting of the year before you graduate, all right? At that point, it's too late. It's too late. You guys are going to be like, I don't care. I'm so burnt on high school. I just want my diploma, and I want to get as far away from here as possible, okay? I want you to know me. I want to know you. I want us to have trust established so that when you make that transition from high school into the real world, whatever your plans are, whether you're going to be working or you're going to school or you're doing both or you're going to go on missions training or you're going to, whatever it is that you're going to do, I want you to know and trust me so that I can serve you when you get to that stage of your life. And that starts now. That's why I'm here. That's why I've been hanging out. I got to go to Valley Fair with a bunch of you early in the summer, and that was awesome. And I remembered how I can't handle roller coasters. And it was a struggle. And my favorite, we were just talking about the fact my favorite ride of the day was antique cars because it didn't make me feel like I wanted to vomit. But I've been hanging out at the coffee house. That's been a great opportunity to get to know some of you. I have to tell you, I'm getting pretty good at ping pong. So just fair warning. I mean, I'm not Corbin good with his, like, he's got the weird, like, serpentine, like, backhanded pedal thing. You ever seen Corbin play ping pong? The guy's ridiculous, but I've been beating Alex a lot. so, you know, I'm not the worst either. So that's been fun, but that's intentional. That's intentional because I want to know you and I want you to know me and trust me and I want to be able to be a blessing to you and come alongside whatever Student Ministries is doing. Pastor Justin and Pastor John and Jess and Tracy and Jen and I both, we want to come alongside what God's already doing here. And with all of you, and be a blessing in any way that we can. And I'm really excited. I'm really excited about. Oh, I'm slides behind. Okay, hold on. So, the name of I need to back up for a second. Okay, so young adult ministry. That's what we're calling the new thing. We thought about like, oh, we're talking about growing. Let's call it cultivate or really. Like all of that requires too much explanation. Okay, we're calling it Young Adult Ministry, which is shortened to YAM. All right, so this I made this, and my boys named it. This is Mr. Yam Scott. He's our Young Adult Ministry mascot. All right, Mr. Yam Scott. So I had a bunch of young adults over to my house earlier. We're passing around Mr. Yamscott. That was like the talking shell at the bonfire. So if it was your turn to talk, you were holding Mr. Yamscott. I'll just show you this. You know Ben Reese. things got weird at the end of the night for a minute. He was holding Mr. Yamscott. I don't know if I didn't feed him enough earlier in the evening, but that's him going to take a bite out of his head. So I was able to rescue Mr. Yamscott from that, but it was touch and go there for a second. Anyway, okay. So I'm really excited about opportunities to partner together with between YAM and what would the abbreviation for student ministry, Stewmin? Do you say that? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Stewie? Yeah. Stewmin. I usually say Stewmin. So between YAM and Stewmin, just what the possibilities might be. Maybe we could do some joint worship nights or prayer gatherings or whatever. It's like the partnership between, because you guys are the young adults of the future, right? And we want to be able to invest and pour into you. So that's basically it, you guys. I want to leave you. I have three things. Challenges, if you will, okay? Number one, can I challenge you? If I don't know you yet, would you introduce yourself at some point? It doesn't have to be today if we haven't met, but I genuinely would love to get to know you. I like making new friends. I'm generally a pretty friendly person. I'm not super hard to talk to. And so I'd love to be able to connect with you, but that's going to take, I'm just one person and you are all of you. So that's going to take joint effort on our part. But when we're hanging out at a coffee shop or whatever, just come up and introduce yourself. And that's one way that we can continue to be more connected. The second thing is, and this is where I really need your help, you guys. Would you be willing to pray for me? Would you be willing to pray for me and Jen and for us as young adult ministry? Because I tell you what, I can't do this by myself. At every stage of the game, I've pretty much felt like I have no idea what I'm doing. And God has been faithful and he's been gracious and he's led us along. But if we're not all praying towards that together, it's not going to work. And I need the help. I need the support. So if you guys are willing to do that with me, that would be amazing. And then third of all, my third challenge, obviously you all are here. You're in the room. So you are plugged in. You made the time and took the effort and made it a priority to be here today. But let me just encourage you, don't just come and sit in the room. Engage with what God's doing here. Engage with what God's doing right now in student ministries at New Hope Church, because you guys are not too young. You're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today. And we're all on mission together, and we all need to find out what our role is to play in that. And you guys have a big part to play of figuring out what it looks like for students to shine the light and the presence of God and bring that message of hope and the good news of Jesus. We all have our part to play in that. So dig in, because Pastor Justin, and I've met Pastor John a couple of times. He's awesome too. And Tracy and Jess, man, these are some good people that you have. And you know this already. You know them. You love them. That's why you're here. But lean into that. Does that sound good? Can we do that? Maybe? That's less than convincing. But can we try that one more time? Can we do that together?
Yeah!
All right. We're going to sing one more song. Joel and Cynthia, come back up. Can we just, as they come, can we just thank them by clapping for being here this morning? I appreciate two young adults, people that are involved with young adult ministry already, coming and helping us out by leading us in worship. So we're going to sing a song, kind of captures that last challenge that I made to you guys. Thank you, everybody. Hey, man. Dude, are you Yanni's brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Jamel and Yindi, your parents, right? Yeah, okay, cool.
Never break off a handshake. Never break off a handshake.